Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Tune Machine. I am Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Delaney, so what?
It's another Tune Machine. We gave away the chart that this is going to cover in the last episode. So for us to get the random pop blob to read it out is going to be a fallacy because we know already what it is. But we'll get him to read it out anyway because we're like listening to his voice, won't we? So random blob,
do
open your gob.
Gob. Tell us how to do our job.
Which chart is it, random pop blob?
4th of November.
Wow, 77.
Are. What a year.
I was only two in 1977.
Were you?
And yet, having cast my eye across this chart, so many of these songs are not just familiar to me, but also have an emotional place in my heart.
Yeah.
So I think that you absorb that. I had older brothers who would have been listening to music in the house all of the time from an early age. And I think that you do just absorb music from a very, very early age.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the top 10 of this is pretty much all what is now regarded as classics. That's
I would say
10
so.
Songs.
I mean, I actually, when we selected this, or when it was selected by the blob originally on a previous episode, I read through it and I sent it to my brother Theo, host of the Life Goals, Excellent Life Goals podcast, because he's 10 years older than me. He would have been 12 and really heavily into music at this time.
He'll have been in his pop pomp.
And I saw the chart, and you know what? It made me think of him.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, I've got to send this to Theo to get his feedback. And I was right. He said, yeah, that is a chart that has a massive, massive place in my heart and my mind.
Definitely. It's a great
and
chart.
So many different, he pointed out that there's such a mix of genres in this one. So I think this is a really, I mean, I don't think anything will ever beat the time when we did that 1984 chart and we had to do at least two episodes on it.
Yeah.
Because 1984 was the best year for music. But fuck me, this has got the lot in here, hasn't it?
It has. Well, I mean, let's just get stuck in and we'll do a chart rundown. And then we'll start pick nuggets out of it. So here we go then with the top 40 on the 4th of November 1977. At number 40, it's a chart entry, Rockotto, Boogie On Up.
At number 39, it's Down 9 Places for George Benson, The Greatest Love of All.
Straight in at 38, a young gang of ruffians calling themselves The Jam with Modern World.
Don't much like the Modern World, mate. Don't know about you. Think it's all gone to pot. They can keep it. At 37, it's Darts with Daddy Cool.
Down 4 to 36, Pratt and McLean. Happy days.
Let me tell you, he bloody is as well. We've had him in here before. At number 35, up 9 places, it's Stella Parton with The Danger of a Stranger.
Chart entry at 34, Belfast, Boney M. Wouldn't like to go there, mate.
It's a new entry for that scouse nerd, Elvis Costello. He's watching the detectives.
Up 6 to 32, The Commodores and Brick House / Sweet Love.
At 31, down 12 places, it's Patsy Gallant. 8, it's Patsy Gallant. What? From New York to LA.
Hell of a trip. Hell of a gal. Down 11 at 30, the recently dead Elvis Presley. Ironically, way down.
It's just where he is now. Nothing down but worm food now, but he'll still be the king to me forever. At 29, it's Tina Charles with Love, Bug. I caught one of those once on a trip in my youth to Greece. Yeah. Wasn't pleasant.
I think I could just get a jab now and get it dealt with quite quickly.
It felt like pissing through broken glass for a month afterwards. Still, it was worth it.
Down 1 at 28, Mary Mason with Angel of the Morning and Any Way That You Want Me.
Well, that was what that Greek girl said, and look where I ended up. At 27, Turn to Stone, said the Electric Light Orchestra.
I bet you hope your cock had turned to stone after what happened to you, mate.
I tell you what, it was stone that day, but not for much longer. It was more like blancmange.
Down 12 to 26, The Emotions, Best of My Love.
Santana's at 25 with She's Not There.
Going up one place to 24, it's David Bowie with Heroes. I don't think we'll hear much from that song again.
23, The Barren Knights with Live in Trouble.
Up 14 to 22, it's the Bee Gees. How deep is your love?
I don't want to find out. 21, I believe you, says Dorothy Moore. I feel as if she's trying to say, but millions wouldn't.
Up 1 at 20, Nazareth with an EP, which they're calling Hot Tracks.
Great name for a band. I remember yesterday, claims Donna Summer at number 19, although with the amount of drugs being taken on the disco scene in New York, I doubt that, Donna.
Still at number 18. They're not really a singles band, but they're rocking the charts with this. It's Wondrous Stories by Yes!
At 17, From Here to Eternity from Giorgio.
Down 7 at number 16, Danny Mirror with I Remember Elvis Presley. He's only been dead a month, Danny. We all remember him.
He's still in the ruddy charts. At number 15, it's those boys, Roxy Music with Virginia Plain.
Down 2 at 14, The Stranglers, No More Heroes.
At number 13, it's those Geordie Lads, Smokey with Needles and Pins.
Down 2 places at number 12, it's Mecco with Star Wars Theme. I saw that Star Wars film. I didn't think much of it. I don't think we'll be hearing much more of it.
Absolutely bloody ridiculous. Bunch of robots speaking to each other and spaceships. I hated it. At number 11, Black Betty by Ram Jam.
Up 1 at number 10, The Carpenters. They're trying to get in touch with the aliens this week, calling occupants of interplanetary craft.
At number 9, now, we weren't even allowed to mention the name of this band because they're disgraceful hooligans. But at the last minute, we've had a call from Sir Marmaduke Hussey saying that we're obliged to mention that at number 9 this week, it's Holiday in the Sun by the Sex Pistols.
We'll not mention the fact that the opening lyric mentions the concentration camp Belsen then. Up 7 at number 8, Tom Robinson with 2, 4, 6, 8, Motorway.
At number 7, it's Hutch himself, David Soul, with Silver Lady. Up well, we've seven. Got Black Betty and Silver Lady. Bloody hell, what's next? Golden Gloria?
Up 7 at number 6, it's Queen, or as I like to call them, Sparks for Cunts, with We Are the Champions.
Whatever happened to songs about White Wendy? That's what I want to know. Well, that's Britain, I suppose. At number 5, Rocking All Over the World by Status Quo. Now, there's a real band.
Down 2 at 4, Black is Black by La Belle Epoque.
And number 3, You're in My Heart, says Rod Stewart. Yeah, you and about a dozen other chicks.
Lucky bastard. Down 1 at number 2, Bacara. Yes, sir, I can boogie.
I just don't want to at the moment. Just don't feel like it. And at number 1, it's the sexy Swedes themselves, ABBA, with Name of the Game.
There it is. What
Fuck
a chart.
Now.
What a fucking chart. There is all sorts going on in there.
I think start at number 1 because I think that might have a shout at being ABBA's best song.
It's certainly
up there with SOS.
I struggle to think of a best song for ABBA because there's just so many. It probably changes from day to day. That's definitely up there, though. That was the one that the Fuji sampled as well, wasn't it, for... I've forgotten which one it was now. It was the Rumble in the Jungle track they did.
Ah.
I think they sampled Near the Game. And ABBA don't let people sample their stuff as a rule. So
really?
They had to ask special permission of ABBA. They had to send a letter to ABBA, care of Sweden. Mm. And it was delivered by hand to Bjorn and Benny, who control these things because they're the men. Yeah. They're the men of the house. And
don't bother with the chicks.
They didn't write a bloody song.
It sends their head spinning. As soon as you start talking to them about figures, it sends their pretty little heads spinning.
They get their weekly wage packet and they're glad of it.
We give them their housekeeping.
Yeah, because they're our wives. That's probably what the marriages were all about. It was some kind of money-saving scheme. So, yeah, Fuji's had to write a letter to ABBA, and ABBA granted them permission to sample it. And it was the same with Madonna when she did Hung Up, wasn't it? When she sampled ABBA. She sampled them on...
Man After Midnight, that is, isn't
gimme,
it?
Gimme, Gimme, yeah. So, because, of course, the KLF, when they were still the Justified Ancients of Moo Moo in about 1987, put an album out which was just riddled with samples from all over the place, and one of them just had a massive ABBA sample in it, and they were ordered to destroy all the copies.
Benny and Bjorn have gone their way round. They're not fucking happy.
Yeah, we want a copy for ourselves. One each.
First of all,
destroy all the others.
All the others are dead. Dead meat. And so are you, mate. Hello, it's Benny out of ABBA here. Yeah, that's right, Benny.
You know which one I am? Guitar or piano? No, you don't, do you? It's impossible to tell now because we look
not
the
even
same.
Not even I know, but that's not important.
We've both got
what
a fucking beard now.
Me and Bjorn are coming round to fucking kick you square in the fucking bollocks if you keep on using our songs without permission.
So I don't think there's very many ABBA samples that have been used. But
that's the name of the game. Fucking love this song, mate.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Some of their, I mean, like you say, so many of their songs are exceptional.
I've got a theory, right? You indulge me if you want. Because a lot of people regard the Beatles as being the high watermark in pop music in terms of them being loved by the masses. But I think ABBA's overtaken them in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I think if you were to put a musical full of Beatles songs and a musical full of ABBA songs, the ABBA one's going to sell more tickets, I reckon. Which, of course, they already have done.
It's easier to get kids into ABBA than the Beatles. I mean,
definitely.
You know, kids kind of respond to the Beatles when you play in their young certain songs. But, you know, I mean, but there are a lot of similarities. I would say the Beatles probably influenced ABBA. I don't know a huge amount about ABBA's genesis and influences, but I would imagine that the Beatles was their number one influence. If you listen to the melodies and harmonies they use are from the Lennon and McCartney playbook.
Well, you'd say that, but maybe not in the early days. They were influenced a lot by German, kind of a low-rent German brand of pop music called Schlager music.
Whoa. I'm getting straight away.
Yeah,
I've heard enough.
Best of Schlagers going on the Spotify after this. And because it was stuff that was just always a hit in Germany and around Europe. The kind of stuff that we sophisticated British people would laugh at, really, in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, exactly. But they kind of took that. And they also nicked quite a bit of stuff from classical music as well.
Mm.
Some from,
you can hear that, can't you? Yeah.
But, you know, refrains from like really popular classical composers and stuff like that. But I mean, they'll have been in the Beatles as well, because every fucker was in the Beatles. But I think now, you look back, more people probably regard ABBA as being the best pop group of all time than they do the Beatles. And I say that as a Beatles fan.
I mean, given a choice, I'd always choose the Beatles over them, for sure. But, you know, there's another band in this chart who feature in this chart who I would say, when you talk about the greatest pop bands and the best songwriters ever, are right up there.
Is it the Bee Gees, Sam?
It's the Bee Gees.
It's the fucking Bee Gees. It is.
And that's, I guess, why this is such a special chart here that we've stumbled across, because, you know.
And there's that crossover between the old and the new as well. You've got your likes of ABBA and then the Bee Gees and groups that were big in the 70s, Roxy Music, the Yellow.
And then you've got the Jam.
And then you've got the Jam coming in, and you've got, what was the other one?
Sex Pistols.
Elvis Costello, watching the
Stranglers.
Detectives. Yeah. But I mean, like Theo said, there's so many different genres and different groups in different eras of their careers. Yes, we're in the charts. Fucking hell. I don't think Yes released many singles.
But I'm just reading about the history of the song, Name of the Game. Its working title, what it was first called when they wrote it, was A Bit of Myself.
Oh.
Which, it's a bit of myself. Bit of myself. Opening riff on bass and synthesizer inspired by Stevie Wonder's I Wish from Songs in the Key of Life. Fucking hell, they're not playing games, are they?
Influenced by Stolen.
Yeah. He gets stolen a lot as well, doesn't he?
So we got ABBA there, Name of the Game, number one. I don't know how long it stayed at the top. It'll have been a few weeks, I think. Yeah, 4 weeks at number one.
I remember getting Yes Sir I Can Boogie, which is at number two. Not at this era, obviously, because I was too young, but years later in the 90s.
Just Samuel, young for Yes Sir I Can Boogie. You're only two.
Yeah, but please, man, I'm ready to boogie. No, Samuel, it will be bad for you. You'll wet yourself again.
You don't have sufficient bladder control yet for boogieing.
To boogie. And plus, I'm fed up of this whole boogie thing that's been going on for years now. When will it end? It's not good for the youth. Boogieing. You'll get pregnant, you know, if you boogie too hard. But I'm a boy.
And I'm only two. Yes, well, science is science.
Oh, talking about boys getting confused about things. I just, it might be worth just real quick talking about a friend of the show, Anna, who you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anna, not my Anna, but Anna from Manchester. Mm-hmm. You know her.
Mm-hmm.
She I don't think she'll mind. I'm not, you know, naming the names or anything, but she told me that her, she got in touch yesterday to tell me something that her son, who I think is six, said.
Right.
Let me just say it's very important. Oh, yeah. He said, do you know that girls used to be boys until they had their willies cut off?
Wow.
Yes. She goes, really? He goes, yeah, it happened in the Second World War. It's why I call vaginas ghost penises. So, there you go.
That's from the words of
six-year-old. He said that boys had their penises cut off in the Second World War. Must have been a Hitler initiative. one of Hitler's initiatives was to have everyone's cocks cut off. Cut off everyone's cock! All the non-Aryans must have their cocks removed.
Make
only then can we stop
girls.
Them from breeding.
Fucking hell.
And then he calls them, this kid, he calls them ghost vaginas, which I do think is amazing.
So the girls have got ghost vaginas.
No, sorry, ghost penises.
Ghost penises,
Yeah. Wow. Their vaginas are called ghost penises, which reminds me of that film Mission Impossible 4, the Ghost Protocol.
The Ghost Penis
Mission
Protocol.
Impossible 5, Ghost Penis.
Yeah, I'm glad you were interjected with that.
I just suddenly remembered that when we were talking about me being 2 years old.
Jalapeño.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Anyway, I bought the single when I was in Charing Cross Hospital. They used to, weirdly, they had a record store, a stall of secondhand records in the hospital. Like
to
once
play
a week.
On what? Did they have a record player as well?
I think my mum was in there having, she had something on her eye. And it was I know when it was, I would have been about 16, because it was the first time I had to spend like a prolonged period at home on my own, feeding myself and so forth, putting myself to bed. Because my mum had to go into hospital and everyone else had moved out of the house. And so I just had to fend for myself for a week.
So you were in hospital, so it was like, I've run out of things to say to you, mother. Oh, there's a record stall over there. Thank God
for
that.
Shut up, mother. Mother, why are you blind? You better not be blind when you come back home. I'll need you to cook for me.
I'm going to buy some records from over there.
Ah, look, I found an old battered copy of Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie. The very record you wouldn't allow me to buy when I was
you
two. Well, you can't stop me now, you blind old witch. Stay in your bed. I buy it and I'm going to go home and boogie. No one can stop me. The house is mine now.
And you know what? It's going to torment you because now that you're blind, you'll have an enhanced sense of hearing and you'll be able to hear it all the time.
When I remember that week quite well that she was in hospital because, you know, I was a bit obviously put out that I had to look after myself. And live alone. It was more the loneliness. Like, living in a house on your own when you're 16 is quite boring and lonely. And obviously,
you don't go outdoors.
I fucking went out and got fish cake bullied, didn't I, in the street?
Was it that week?
No, I don't know. Although it was a similar era. It was a similar era. No, I'd go out, but it was just weird because, like, it's your first experience of sort of, like, adult life because you'd go out with your mates and then you'd go back to an empty house late at night. Which felt kind of strange when you were that age. But anyway.
I'm stunned that you just didn't have people around drinking every single night.
Yeah, I did a bit of that. It was only a week. I did a bit of that. But just the being at home. One night, I bumped into Pancho from the Flats' mum, Hanara, in the street. And she was a very kind woman who'd had a very tough life as a result of Pancho from the Flats being her son.
Okay, yeah.
And Hanara... Hey, Sam. Like, I know this sounds really bad, like a racist sort of impression of a Bolivian lady, but this is exactly how she spoke, right? She'd always be on the verge of tears and crossing herself, you know. Hey, Sam, I worry for you. You live on home now. And I said, no, not really. She's death in the hospital for a week. I cut myself to a microwave. I kept myself a lean cuisine. No, you'll come to mine for dinner. She made me come to her. I say made. She invited me round to the flats. For dinner. But it was weird because Pancho was out, so I just had to have dinner with her, and she was quite hard to understand because it was sort of half Spanish, half English all the time. But, fuck me. She got me the biggest fucking fish from the market I've ever seen. It's like what you see in cartoons, though. You know, like, it wasn't a fillet fish. It was a whole fucking fish with the eyes in and everything. Was it too big for the plate.
I was going to say, was it dangling over the edges of the plate?
It was. And there was like that. And it was just me and my own, like, little fucking Lord Fauntleroy up in the flats, right? Coming. Yeah. It was all laid out, this fucking gigantic fish she'd got from the market and all the other trimmings and stuff. And I was like, oh, where's Pancho? Aye, he's not here. I don't know where he is. I was like, fuck, you know, he's let me down here. It's just me and Hanara. And I ate this enormous fish, but, oh, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't eat fish anymore, but I was never really a big fan of having to eat an entire fish where you have to bone it yourself. I didn't know where to start,
I can't
mate.
Be doing with that at all. It seems like
it's
an ordeal.
It's just a hassle, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't want a fucking challenge.
I think any food that you can't eat with a spoon... to me, is a fucking pain in the ass. I mean, I'm not saying I only eat spoon feed food, but what I want, I feel as if it could be eaten with a spoon if necessary. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Any food that is a challenge where you've got to like debone it or unlock it somehow is no good. And also, any food that's so hot and spicy that it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, any food that's dangerous, like a Toblerone or a fucking Vindaloo, nah, mate.
A Toblerone or a Vindaloo, yeah.
They're in the same category as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you get people who like say, oh, the hotter the better for me, and they sit there and they're sweating into their fucking eyeballs and down into their dinner. They're going, oh, that's just how I like it. and the yeah, fucking face fucking is turning red.
You're not proving anything to anyone.
You're supposed to enjoy your food, not fucking endure it.
No fish, no Toblerones, no vindaloos. The rules are very simple.
I should have told Tanara when I got there. Oh, well, what the fuck's this? It's a fish.
You don't wear the rules.
A fucking fish. Didn't Pancho tell you my rules? No Toblerone, no vindaloo, no fish. Anything else would be fine. I mean, oh, I suppose I'll fucking eat it now.
I'm grateful, but I'm not stopping. I'm off.
I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll eat the potatoes and the peas. But the fish, you'll have to give it to a cat if you got one.
So you bought Yes Sir, I Can Boogie.
I Can Boogie. I bought it from the hospital record store, and it brings back all those memories of the fish and so forth.
I now really, really want to visit the hospital record store.
Yeah,
just to
good.
See what else is on offer there.
Do you know what I remember? It's really weird. I remember going there and looking through loads of records, and the two I walked away with were Yes Sir, I Can Boogie and John Ketley Is a Weatherman.
Wow, by Tribe Who's of Toffs.
Tribe of Toffs, yeah, I knew you'd know who it was by.
From Sunderland, them lads.
Really?
Oh, they
were good. It's a good song, isn't it?
It is. They were big Sunderland stars at the time.
Were they?
And they had their one hit. Yeah, they got on the news and everything.
Did you say that Working Men's Club are from Sunderland?
No, I did not. All right. But I think, are they from Manchester, props?
I don't know, but you were saying recently how they were good, and then I went back through my little, I make a playlist a month from
songs I hear on the radio that I like.
I note them down in my little book.
I do. It's how I got back into music, mate, because I just hadn't followed any modern music for years, and then 2 years ago I decided I was going to start, but I had to take it quite seriously, because if not,
you kind of have to write stuff down, because we don't know any of these groups anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You don't. So, and you have to find yourself using what do you call it, Shazam. Yeah. I get Shazam out a lot, and then check it, and then quickly put it on a playlist or add this Spotify.
And I can you do that from Shazam? Can you link that to a Spotify playlist?
Yeah, you can link straight through.
Oh, that's cool. I like that
to
idea.
Spotify, and then you add it to the playlist once you're in Spotify. You can't go direct to this place. But I do one a month, or if not, add a season. Winter song one. Working Men's Club. Bad Blood. But I do it all year. And then at the end, I go back through the playlist and choose my best ones from each playlist and do a playlist of the year.
Playlist of the year.
And that's my system.
And I do a little radio show in my bedroom where I do a little countdown of the chart myself.
It's Sam's DJ Sam Songs of the Year. They're the best songs of the year. And I don't care what anyone else says, especially the bullies.
I mean, the Spotify thing this week, you've probably seen it. They've released everyone's, tracks of the year.
Come on then, what was your top listen to song of the year?
It was one of the ones on the new Pet Shop Boys album.
Do you know what mine was?
Go on, what?
Hounds of Love by Kate Bush.
Well, my top five groups were, in no particular order, New Order, Pet Shop Boys, Prefab Sprout, Prince, and I'm forgetting what the fifth one was, but it was the same five as the last 15 years.
Last year, so, I was so proud of my top five that I screen grabbed it and shared it, because I thought, well, this looks legitimately cool. And I'm going to share it to try and appear cool to my peers.
Yeah.
But this year, it wasn't quite sufficiently cool enough. Right. Because sometimes it will catch you out. There's no hiding place from that Spotify thing. I mean, I don't know how Hounds of Love became. I don't feel like I've listened to it an inordinate amount, but.
You might have fallen asleep with it on repeat.
I know,
like
I think it might have been one of those situations,
Well, the Pet
Shop Boys Order was second.
The Pet Shop Boys album is my album of the year, apparently, but that's solely because it came out when I was on tour with Bob. And I was driving around just listening to it again and again to get into it. So, it's not my favourite album of the year, but there you go. I've also realised...
I think the Public Enemy album might be, or that album by Salt, who I think I've mentioned before, really good.
I'm not sure if I like Salt or not.
Oh, I love
think
them,
a little bit of it is kind of like... There's so many different kind of genres going on there.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like, look how clever we are and how many different types of music we can do. And I don't feel emotionally invested in it quite as much
but
as
some
I think
of the songs, though, are so... I sort of see what you mean, but some of the songs are just so fucking...
Yeah.
I do think there is a common thread. There's a soulfulness in all of them.
Yeah. I'll have even to go when back they and change it again. Here. I've only listened a couple of times. It reminds me a bit of Avalanche's, that album they did.
Oh.
When there was so much going on.
I don't
think
it's like that. The Avalanche's were like a very sort of, they were like sort of lots of samples themselves, weren't they? And like cinematic things and stuff like that.
Lots of different stuff going on. It reminds me a bit of that.
Yeah.
But I found out through the Spotify thing this week that I'm into a genre of music I didn't even know existed.
Was it called Chamber Psych?
Chamber Psych. Everyone's Chamber Psych. Yeah, me too. And
I saw a few people talking about Chamber Psych, and then I thought, what's that? And then I saw it was on mine as well.
Yeah, well, from looking at what I've been listening to, it seems to be like Working Men's Club, Nadine Shaw, and Baxter Jury. They seem to be my top Chamber Psych acts. Fuck knows what it means.
Yeah, fuck knows where mine came on. But, mine are Hounds of Love, Ceremony by New Order. I think they were both on the same playlist I made. Show Me More by Girl Ray. Couldn't even sing that song. Fuck knows how that goes. Goathead by Brittany Howard. Rapid Eye by the Orioles. Oh, I love the Orioles. Band from Halifax. I think I told you I went to see them at a concert.
What, this year?
Yes, before lockdown.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually went out and went to a music concert. Play up. Could you play louder? I can't hear at the back. It's actually cost me £12 to come here, so I'd appreciate it if you played slightly louder. Thank you.
And I insist on standing at the back because I want to make a quick getaway once it's over. I don't want to be stuck in a crowd.
I want to miss the traffic, and also I want to take pictures of you. And this is a better angle. Hold still, will you?
Hold still, Orioles!
Hold still so I can get a shot of all of your faces.
And I will put it on Instagram.
Do you not get out to gigs much nowadays? No, I do not, as it happens, which is why it means so much to me. I used to go to lots of gigs during the 90s.
I'm going to film them doing my favourite song and leave it on my phone and never watch it again.
Anyway, back to 1977.
I managed to get Scritti Politti tickets this morning that we were talking about earlier in the week. They went on sale. I'm in the third row from the front.
In Gateshead, is that?
In Gateshead, Sage Gateshead, yeah. Sometime in 2021, don't know when. I assume we'll all be fitting well by then, though.
Yeah, you know what, Sam?
We've waffled on, and I'll tell you what, we'll just leave it there.
We're going to do a second episode on this chart, surely.
Jesus, at least a second episode.
We haven't got to fucking Silver Lady. I genuinely want to skip doing We Are The Champions by Queen, because I just can't take how angry and aggressive you become on the subject of Queen. So there's no point in going back through that. We can just skip it. I don't want to talk about that song.
You can. I'll just be quiet for a minute.
I don't like the song anyway. I don't want to.
Well, we don't have to talk about it. We don't have to talk about all the fucking songs.
There are... I like Under Pressure with David Bowie. And other than that, I'm not that bothered. So we won't talk about that. Silver Lady by David Soul. I've just got a strong feeling you'll have a lot to tell me about David Soul and Silver Lady. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, I'll try and think some extra up, yeah.
And obviously there's Bee Gees stuff in there. I mean, at 22, we'll go in deeper. But How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees is, I mean, that is in the all-time top 10 ballads.
Yeah.
Top 5 ballads. Yeah. Might be the best ballad ever written.
Whoa, steady on, mate.
I mean, fucking hell, though. How Deep Is Your Love? And it's off the best soundtrack of all time, which is Saturday Night Fever, isn't it?
I mean, I'm looking at Happy Days by Pratt and McLean, and I'm wondering, is that the theme tune from Happy Days?
No way. Could it be?
Could it be? 1977, but it only got...
On single.
It only got as high as number 31. You'd have thought the theme from Happy Days would have got top 10, wouldn't you?
What a time to be alive, right? Kids have got all this great music in the chart. So there's cool music that's good, but then there's very mainstream music that's
Schlager,
really good as well.
You could call it, if you like.
What I mean is you've got the cool stuff that's a little bit edgy, that's very good. But then the big fucking acts, you got like ABBA, Rod Stewart, blah, blah. They're good too, right? And then on top of that, as if your life isn't already fun enough, right? The fucking entertainment in the cinema or on TV is that fucking good that you're going out and buying singles of the theme tunes as well.
Well, it is. I've just looked and it is the theme from Happy Days and it only got a number 31
like
in the
Star
UK.
Star Wars and Happy Days and a song from Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
In 1977, if you were a kid, people talk about
the 70s and like the winter of discontent and all of this shit, which hadn't happened yet but was soon going to, right? Mm. And they think, oh, fucking hell, what a grim time. Fuck me, not looking at this chart. In terms of like pop culture, you're having a fucking time of your life, you cunts.
Definitely. And my only remaining question from this chart is whether at number 35, Stella Parton, is she related to Dolly Parton? That's all I want to know.
Fucking hope so. Dolly's fitter sister. Whoa. With even bigger knockers. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Stella Parton. Oh, I think she might be. Yeah, of course she is.
Right, she's that's younger, like when we did...
Younger sister.
When we did... What was T.S. Eliot's brother called? Ken Elliot. Hello, Ken Elliot Enterprises. let me guess. You want to buy the rights to one of our kids' fucking poems? Fine.
Yeah, that was right, yeah.
It's like Ken Elliot and... who was Isabard Kingdom Brunel's brother as well?
Kenny Kingdom Brunel.
They're all called Kenny, yeah. I've just remembered. Everyone's brother's called Kenny. All right. Kenny Elliott here. How can I help you?
Yeah, it's Kenny Kingdom Brunel. I'm thinking about proposing a tie-in. Right, that's it for this one. We'll be back in a couple of weeks and we'll finish this chart off. I think we'll do a special Christmas chart as well for over the Christmas period. As a bonus treat for everyone, like, perhaps.
Maybe Band-Aid.
Well, we'll pick a Christmas chart that was particularly Christmassy. Delve into it.
That year, Band-Aid and Last Christmas.
Yeah.
So that could be a good one. That was, let's be honest, that was a fucking good Christmas. Christmas 84, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, we'll probably do that then. All right,
Andy,
with
did you
one
have
of
a BMX? Just yes or no, I know we're wrapping up, but did you have a BMX?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
All right, we'll discuss this on a future episode.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Good day, everyone. Happy listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.